السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه وسائر النبيين، أما بعد، يقول سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الحكيم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اقرأ اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق، خلق الإنسان من علق. اقرأ ربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم ومسلمة. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله محمد الأمين، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين وعلى نعمة الإيمان شاكرين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم ألهمنا رشدنا، اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وينفعنا ما علمنا. My most respected sisters and brothers, tonight's topic is the contemporary Muslim Ummah, the problems it is facing and the solution in the light of Quran and Sunnah. It will appear sometime in my presentation and being merciless. It is not the case. I want a very scientific, organized, objective, systematic study of the problems of the Ummah, and let the chips fall where it belongs. I am not going to mince the words, shy away, neither I will exaggerate. And I am inviting you to check me with our agreed upon reference points, Quran and the Sunnah. The most important thing, if you consider, even before Kalima Shahada in Islam and Articles of Faith, is the knowledge. Unless you know La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, you cannot be a Muslim, you cannot utter the Kalima. So the knowledge is the most important thing in Islam. And in regard to knowledge, if you see the contemporary Muslim Ummah, from Morocco to Indonesia, from New Zealand, Australia to USA, you will come across very highly educated people and ignorant. I'm using contradictory word. Highly educated in terms of science, in terms of disciplines of science, doctors, engineers, scientists, so on and so forth. But they are so ignorant of Islam, you wonder with all this intelligence. The reason is very obvious. All the information and knowledge they got, either from their half-educated parents or very ignorant khatib and imams in their villages, or they attended here and then picked up some information scattered without any organized effort, while in their secular pursuit of knowledge, they go through the primary school, secondary school and high school and systematic syllabus. They don't do that for Islam, because Islam is not in their priority. And this is the problem I'm facing all over the world. After visiting 30 years, 42 states in the United States, and almost this many countries in the Islamic world, and meeting and talking and interacting with the most educated, most intelligent, I am seeing this ignorance rampant. Ignorance does not mean that they are ignorant of their discipline. They are master. They are defeated in the West on their turf, the Western scholars. So they are very intelligent. But when it comes to Islam, they talk so freely, and if you ask this question, Mr. Pharmacist, for example, you cannot let any non-pharmacist to talk on the subject of pharmacy, and you cannot let any doctor to talk on the subject of Quran the same way if he does not acquire the knowledge of Quran. This contradiction is there, and I have to caution you that this rampant ignorance about Islam and the basic concept of Islam is because of lack of knowledge seeking a knowledge systematically, the way they have sought knowledge and acquired knowledge in the secular field. Likewise, among the ulama, there are very great majority who does not understand these social or physical sciences, or they do understand very little. So they have this gap. Now inshallah I'll come back on subsequent topics on this subject. But I am telling you, this ignorance among the educated, secularly educated, not having understanding of deen, and religiously educated, not understanding the physical sciences and the contemporary sciences. This is a very, very big gap and very big serious problem. Inshallah we will come and discuss that in detail. But bigger than this problem is illiteracy. You will be surprised. Last year, United Nations released figures of illiteracy. And I am ashamed to say that 6 major illiteracy centers were Muslim countries. Egypt, over 50%. Sudan, Somalia, Pakistan, over 70%. Bangladesh, over 60%. Afghanistan, over 80%. Can you imagine illiteracy level in the Muslim countries? Subhanallah. I am giving you these figures, they are facts. Just in case of Pakistan, which is now nuclearly equipped, 150 million population, 6 years to 18 years old children, school-going age children, there are 35 million in Pakistan. And only 15 million are schooling in the religious or secular, 20 million are roaming about in the street without any schooling from them. Can you imagine? Can you imagine 87% of Afghan population is illiterate, cannot write and read, cannot even read Quran. Can you imagine this rampant illiteracy you will not find in Australia, in New Zealand, in South Africa, in Europe, in America? Why this is in Islamic world? Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam of Quran did not emphasize Subhanallah. The name of the Wahi given to this Ummah, unlike Musa al-Salam Tawrah and unlike Isa al-Salam Ji, the name of the Wahi is Quran, reading. Our Wahi is named reading. The importance of reading is obvious. Al-Quran, the reading. The first revelation is about reading. Iqra. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم ومسلمة. Seeking of knowledge is an obligation on every male and female Muslim. And he not only mean knowledge of Quran and Sunnah, but secular knowledge. First and foremost, Maraka was Battle of Badr. 70 of the Kuffar of Quraysh were imprisoned. And he gave them chance to give fidya, ransom, and get freedom. And those of them could not pay, he asked them to teach 10 Muslims and get their freedom. What they were going to teach? Quran and Sunnah? Of course not. Kuffar of Quraysh could not teach Quran and Sunnah to Muslims. He was requiring them to teach Muslims how to read and write. This is the importance of knowledge in Islam. Islam does not start without knowledge. You do not get to Shahada unless you know Shahada. This is the central, important, essential place of knowledge in Quran and in the Hadith. And this Ummah, which is claiming love for Islam, loyalty to Islam, which is claiming belief in Islam, can you imagine 50% illiteracy? And it is not existing in contemporary non-Muslim world. Whole Europe, whole North America, whole Australia and New Zealand have 98-100% literacy. The Islam, whose revelation is named reading, whose first revelation is emphasizing the reading and the knowledge Allah has passed to human beings with the pen. The Islam which is emphasizing secular education in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. You see that this Ummah is facing this problem. And I am very sorry to say that despite the existence of this problem, I do not see relative discussion of the problem, recognition of this problem. I challenge you, go back 5-10 years, best conferences in this area, and check the topics discussed in those conferences by the best scholars, and see this topic has been dealt how much at all. Can you imagine the extent of the problem? And this Ummah, I'll come back. Taqwa, we understood, beard, long robe, very nice imama, miswa. That's the concept we get taqwa. As soon as we say the word taqwa, let's come. No place in Quran these things have been mentioned. I challenge any khadib, any alim to tell me that long beard has been mentioned as alama of taqwa in the Quran. I'm not undermining long beard. I'm not undermining miswa. I'm not undermining robe. I'm not undermining imama. Don't misunderstand me. But this was not the primary reflection of taqwa. Primary reflection of taqwa was iman, iman bil ghaib, and sharing and caring. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَنْ تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. Allah SWT, I am quoting Quran. Their taqwa is not recognizing qibla in the east and west. If you ask a limited mind maudli, he will tell you. If you undermine the importance of Qibla, Ittijah al-Qibla, direction of Qibla, you cannot have Salah without direction of Qibla. Brother, that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Even though it is the primary requirement of establishing prayer, that you determine direction of Qibla, but it is not the soul of taqwa. What is the soul of taqwa? وَلَكِنْ نَبِّرْ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ who believe in Allah. واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين وآتى المال على حبه ذوي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل والسائلين وفي الرقاب. Immediately after the basic fundamental iman, sharing and caring is reflection of taqwa. Subhanallah. Where is the sharing and caring? Is Pakistan so poor that it cannot take care of 20 million students, possible prospective students, who are living their life recklessly, purposelessly, roaming about in the street and creating lot of problems for the Ummah? Enough. You go, and I challenge you, go and check the 50,000 masajid in Pakistan and the topic of khutba. The topic will be either ikhtilaf of mazahib. Ikhtilaf, and the imam is showing he belongs to this school of thought, the other school is Zal or Muzil and Kufr. Or he is talking about Haqqul Jiyan, the right of the neighbor. It's a good subject. Tahara. Or he is talking about. Never he is talking about sharing and caring. I challenge you and go and check if I am wrong. Out of 50,000 masajid in Pakistan, the president of the masjid is one of the corrupt contractor or the high official or retired official. President of the masjid, he's sitting over there. His bungalow is next to the masjid, 5,000 square yards. Nice lawn. And the man who takes care of the lawn or who drives his car or the woman who cleans his home, living next door to him in a hut, having no running water and no electricity, and not a single khatib is talking. وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَىٰ وَالْيَتَامَىٰ وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَالسَّائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَى الزَّكَاةَ وَالْمُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَاهَدُوا وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا They are the truthful. وَأُولَٰئِكَ مُتَّقُونَ. No. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. They are the only muttaqun. Those who believe in the fundamentals of Iman and share and care. And there is no sharing and caring. And no khatib, no imam, he knows. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, right hand. The most corrupt person in the society is the president. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, on the left hand. Aminu sanduq, actually khainu sanduq, is the one who gives rushwa and takes rushwa. And I was trained as imam and khatib. All my life, 14 years, in the mazaris, I saw charity. My peers, my teacher, my principal, go and beg to the most corrupt people some charity to bring some food for my school, subhanallah. So I am afraid, I learned 13, 14, 15 years over there. Very shrewd I am. I learned that if I talk about a subject that will hurt this Mr. President or this Mr. Aminu Sanduq Treasurer, No. I cannot even talk about subjects their wives, their spouses don't like. Hijab, I cannot talk about interest, about injustice, social injustice, about taking care of the poor. I cannot talk. No, not only himself and his wife, his mother-in-law I cannot talk about. Subhanallah. That is the situation I am facing. And we are expecting miracles. After that, it's all right. If you want to be corrupted, then go. But after that, we are expecting. We are expecting miracles. And there is a cultural Islamic movement. Thanks to the Islamic movement, what they have done, a great job. I am not here to appreciate. I can appreciate till Salat Zuhr. But I am not here. I am here to pinpoint what are the shortages, deficiencies. They have created a culture of pinpointing towards ruler. Everybody is talking about Musharraf, about Husni Mubarak, about Badawi and this and that, and they are very sincere. Throw the whole burden on the government. Subhanallah, you are free of responsibility. As if Jannah is for the government rulers or Jahannam is for them, you have no share in that. Brother, taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning, start with sharing and caring. He did not mention Iqamat al-Salah. Here he said, Aatal Mala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have said, Taqwa means Iqamat al-Salah first. He mentioned after all this sharing and caring, Wa aqamat salata wa atadaka. Am I right? Read Quran yourself. Read Quran yourself. This rampant illiteracy, this rampant ignorance is unacceptable to Quran and unacceptable to the Sunnah of Nabi. It does not belong to the Ummah Islami. And this is the foremost problem. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ يَدُّ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to do a favor to anybody, maal has not been mentioned first. Property, talent, physical health. The most important thing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned after Hidayah, after Islam, the greatest favor of Allah, He gives that person understanding of deen. يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّين. He did not use the word يُعَلِّمُهُ الدِّين. There are 200,000 half of the Quran do not have understanding of deen in India and Pakistan. 200,000. I was telling one brother was introducing me this afternoon, his son, subhanAllah, half of the Quran. This is the most difficult thing to make a parent understand. The Quran is not the most important thing. For the Quran is the most important thing. The faqh is deen more important than Hibd al-Quran. I am not discouraging Hibd al-Quran. Astaghfirullah. But I have told you in the beginning, I am cautioning you. I look like merciless. I am not merciless. I am going exactly by Quran and Sunnah and common sense. You understand the problem. The foremost problem of the Ummah is ignorance among the educated, as I explained to you, and illiteracy among the uneducated. This illiteracy and ignorance is number one enemy of Islam and Muslim Ummah. Number one enemy. And it has to be dealt with. not transfer to the rulers, not transfer. I am not freeing them from the responsibility. Musharraf will face his Jannah and Jahannam when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with him, or Husni Mubarak, or anybody. I am not exempting them, but I am telling them they cannot make the difference. Even with their best sincere efforts, it has to be done with the Ummah Islamiyah himself, itself, herself, every one of us. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. Those who share and say, they are the truthful in their iman and they are the muttaqun. Rest of them are غير muttaqun, no matter how many salat they are making. This has to be understood very clearly. I don't want to dwell on that. I have to deal with other. Second most important issue. We are living in an Islamic society. Not only in Australia, in Pakistan. We are living in the society of Munkarat in Egypt, in major part of Saudi Arabia, in major part of life. Oh, subhanAllah, everybody is in Munkarat. Brother, I am not telling something which is not reality. Reality is there. Saudis have two laws, one for common man, one for the royal family. It's very obvious. You don't have to be super genius to understand that very clearly. This rampant contradiction and this contaminated, polluted atmosphere all around is creating a problem magnitude you cannot understand unless you focus. People talk about Islam in terms of salah, in terms of zakah, in terms of hajj, in terms of fasting. Of course. But the rest of the life, read Quran. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah Nur. And in the beginning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَنْزَلْنَاهَا وَفَرَضْنَاهَا. We have revealed it and we made it farz, obligation. And it's talking about social contact. It's talking about, for example, if you visit somebody's home, knock the door, how you should behave. It's talking about family life. No mention of salah or zakah or hajj over there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنْزَلْنَاهَا وَفَرَضْنَاهَا. We revealed this surah and we made it an obligation. Meaning, it is not only salah that is to be performed according to Quran and Sunnah. Your personal behavior, your family life, all the matters mentioned in Surah Nur and Surah Ahzab and so on and so on. This contradiction is there. Worship, you will fight if somebody tries to make three rakat of Jummah. You will fight. Because you know that Jummah have only two rakat. But the same person violates in social life, in Islamic life, in elsewhere, you take it for granted. Oh, because of the society like that. I tell you what is the problem. The problem is not understanding the word deen. Islam is not religion. Religion is a very small sector. If you go to American Heritage or Oxford Dictionary English, will define religion is either relationship between creator and creature, or it is system of beliefs and act of worship. That's it. You are through. And Islam is not religion in that sense. Islam is more than religion. A part of Islam is religion. A major part is deen. It's a big difference. But the contradiction comes from the translation. The best translation will not describe deen only, it will translate religion. The best translation, whatever language, will not describe what is ibadah. Only a part of ibadah, as of what she will mention. The best of the translation will not translate Tawud. Tawud means shaitan. Astaghfirullah, one exception of Tawud is shaitan. There are many other manifestations of Tawud. So, people rely on translation. People rely on half knowledge. People rely. And the atmosphere is so polluted and contaminated. There are only one way you can protect your deen. Remember this very important statement. If you miss this, you will miss all my lectures. There are only way you can have your deen. Deen al-Islam. The way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The way of Sahaba. And the struggle they did. All the 78 plus Ghazawat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Not for religion only. Kuffar would have left them alone if they just wanted Salah and Saum and Zakat. Deen is complete way of life. Economic aspect, political aspect, social aspect, family aspect, international relation. All of this, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam established the authority of Deen and Islam. If you don't have this authority, there is no neutral situation in the world. Either you are controlled by somebody or you control the world. Let me make it very clear. Either you are controlled by somebody and given a limited freedom as Australia is giving to you, as America is giving to you, or Europe is giving to you. They don't interfere how many rakat you make in Salah. But they will cut your hand, put you in jail if you try to enforce Islamic law in their institution of lending and banks. The freedom goes over there. They will put you behind the bars if you ever try to enforce the law of Islam about qimar, about hijab, about shurb al-khamr. Subhanallah, you cannot imagine. Who is controlling the world? I told you very clearly, either you are controlling or you are being controlled. There is no neutral situation in the world. It is impossible to have a neutral situation because of the human nature. Human being either under control of somebody or have the aspiration to control. He cannot leave you alone free. Impossible. From Adam alayhi salam till Yom Kippur. And one of the meaning of being is controlling. I will quote hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Al-Tajbisu man dana nafsahu. Dana yadeen. Dana nafsahu. I am quoting Quran and hadith. Islam is one who controls his desire. Uridu min Quraysh. Kalimatan. Tati nubhira. I ask the Quraysh one kalima la ilaha illallah, they will control and subjugate the Arabia. Now you understand the meaning of deen? Oh, deen means religion. Subhanallah, brother. You did not understand. Deen means controlling, subjugating. There are other meanings of deen. I am not on that subject now. But I am telling you, today Western civilization is controlling you. The total unchallenged subjugation of the world to Western civilization. And I'm not talking about Australia only, or New Zealand, or USA, or Europe. Western civilization, by Western civilization, I mean the value system, the thinking, the concept of life. There are four pillars of Western civilization. Islam has five pillars. Western civilization has four pillars. Democracy. One of the best definitions by Abraham Lincoln, government of the people, for the people, by the people. It's totally against Islam. People, very educated, PhDs, they are confused. That's why you call them ignorance. What it translated in Arabic, Hukmul Nas ala Nas bin Nas. Government of the people, for the people, by the people. And Quran says, government of Allah, through Sharia, with justice. This is total contradiction of democracy. Opposite, parallel. And you know in mathematics, parallel don't meet. I'm 30 years I did not take the oath of allegiance to the Constitution of the United States to get my citizenship. I refuse. I cannot get along with the crowd PhDs, there may be. Somebody, one of the friends, childhood friend, his doctor, he said, brother Imam Zaki, there was a convention of 500 people. When they were saying that the constitution was, I was cursing on them. Who cares? I got a citizenship, I sponsored my brothers and sisters. I said, brother, I am Imam and Qazi also. I perform marriages. I don't go to every woman, I perform her marriage. I send somebody, Shahid, let him go over there, get her permission. He goes over there and say, Qazi is asking, oh girl, this man, so-and-so, son of so-and-so, you are going to marry him? And she keep quiet. In most of the cases, Pakistani girls don't say, yes, I want to marry. Just they keep quiet. Keeping quiet is a sukoon rida. Keeping quiet is that permission. If she turn around after second child or third child or fourth child, I was cursing you when the man came to get permission. That doctor was very serious. He got very serious. He said, well, it is contradiction. Subhanallah, brother, you are not exposing yourself to West. Tell them, despite all the freedom they give, this democracy means 51% people if say homosexuality is right, and Quran say no, Quran is neglected, and 51% people rule will be authorized and enforced. Am I right? Yes, you are right. Subhanallah. This is what democracy is. Number two, secularism. It appears very beautiful. Secularism means not anti-religion. Each religion is free, but religion has no place in our public life, in our public decision. You cannot quote Bible or Quran or Torah in Parliament House, in business centers, in Wall Street Journal, in Wall Street, in somewhere. No, you cannot quote. You can practice your religion in your churches, in your synagogues, in your masajid, but don't bring them in our practical life, in public life. This is the meaning of secularism. And there is no philosophy more dangerous than this secularism in the history of humankind. In the history of humankind, what does it mean? Secularism means Allah is out from Parliament, from the Supreme Court, from the monastery, from the Islamic institution. He is out from the universities. He is out. Rasulullah is out. Sharia is out. This is the meaning of secularism, the second pillar of Western civilization. And the third pillar of Western civilization is nationalism. My nation, right or wrong, whole First World War, whole Second World War, you see, even today, September 11th, rally around the president. The president is taking you to Jahannam. No. As long as he is talking about American interest, quote unquote, everybody got the message. American interest means you have to control the eyes of the Middle East and catch them. Otherwise we cannot enjoy this life here. They got the message. Mr. Bush got re-elected. He gave a very simple message. Quote it. Nobody understands except Americans. He said, if we don't fight this fight in Iraq, in Afghanistan, we have to fight it in the mainland, United States. They got a message. They re-elected him despite the most uneducated president in the history of America. I'm using a very sophisticated word. I should have used even more harder word than that. But that's not the point. Right now, I'm telling you, this is nationalism. Rally around the flag. Not a fool stood among the terrorists and asked, how come a superpower which cannot tolerate 9 minute delay of a coming missile from Russia left 2 hours, one plane, second plane, third plane, fourth plane, running around, and not a single Air Force plane came into the air and challenged them? Nobody, because everybody, that's what Mr. Bush wanted to provoke Americans, and he let it happen, 9/11, he knew it. I was the one who was speaking 6 months before in Rutgers University, America is intending to attack Afghanistan 6 months before September 11, because the plans were ready, even he became the president. But not a single person, because the intoxication of nationalism. It's very sweet. It intoxicates. And when you tell this is in the interest of America, whole American nation is with you. I'm not here to discuss politics. I'm analyzing what is Western civilization. They went and destroyed local population of Great Indians. And you know the history here. You, I don't have to tell you. I'm not here for this. I'm just touching what is needed to be understood. This mentality. Our nation, our flag, our president, riding around, right along. The same America. If you go on the street of America, if there is a car accident and you are Indian or Pakistani or whatever, you have beard, you should not be even touched by them, but they will stop. At least, if nothing else, they will use their cell phone and call 911 and bring some help to you. But the same Americans saw day after day, night after night, bombing of innocent children in Iraq, 500,000 of them. And nobody ever protested and came to the street and said, you cannot do this with human beings. You can do with Saddam if you want. You can do with your own created Saddam and your own loyal people around Saddam. But you cannot kill innocent girls, innocent boys, innocent women. This is a universal value. This is Christian value. This is Jewish value. This is Islamic value. Every religion honors the life and property of innocent people. Because nationalism, the intoxication of nationalism, this is the third pillar of Western civilization. Whole First World War and Second World War against nationalism, around nationalism. And today there is only one pillar, fourth one, capitalism. It used to be communism and capitalism. People used to think communism is different, only different philosophy of economy. But approach to the world was same. Today now it is one. Single superpower capitalist Western world. And leader of them, United States, and mashallah, you see this rampant. When I talk in America, I am very blunt. I tell Americans, the word poverty you don't know. The word poverty should not be even in the dictionary of America. Because you don't understand what is poverty. Americans cannot understand, American children cannot understand when the refrigerator has option of 12 drinks, 15 drinks. They cannot understand half of the population of the world is struggling for pure, healthy drinking water. And why it is? Because Allah did not give them stuff for Allah. The capitalist system brought in America, 1% American owned 40% of America. 10% American owned 90% of America. So all these doctors, engineers, fools are just having the 10% pie, share of the pie. No matter how hard they work. 10% American, according to statistics, owned 90% of America. And not enough. They go after and McDonald's established 70 countries branches. SubhanAllah, why do you need McDonald's in poor Pakistan or poor Bangladesh? You know, the sandwich, 300 rupees, astaghfirullah. You can eat and feed yourself 1 week with that money. Rampant multinational corporation, economic, political, all kind of control. Control is the name of the game. And 57 so-called Muslim independent countries under the control, subhanallah, even nuclearly equipped Pakistan, they surrender within 30 minutes of the call of the President of the United States. That's it. This is the situation, and I am giving you facts and figures and reality. Now, the third problem of the Ummah. We are too focused on material world. For a change, after 3 years, I traveled from the United States to Malaysia. And I told Malaysians, I don't find any difference between America, Europe and Malaysia. Almost 90% people have mortgage home. I went to homes. Brother, you are making 2,000 ringgit. You cannot have a 500,000 house. I said, no. Our government liberalized for 10 years. Mahathir did a very great job. He supplied loan. Subhanallah. You know what is this loan? According to Quran, Ya ayyul ladhina amal taqullah wa dharu ma baqiya min al-riba in kuntum mu'minin. Fa idzam tafalu fa adhanu bi harbin min Allahi wa Rasulih. This bank, this market company, they are at war with Allah and Rasul. Are you speaking language of Quran? No matter what you say. A brother is driving 40,000 in car, what car? His salary is 1500. Say, how come? Oh, I make 1500, my wife makes 1500, I pay it installment. Subhanallah. Whole Pakistan, whole Malaysia, whole Egypt. Western thinking, material world. There is so big a gap between the life of Sahaba and the life of contemporary Muslim. Everybody is measured according to what he can, she can earn in terms of material things. I don't want to dwell. This is a touchy subject and you understand very well. We don't need to elaborate this. Love of this dunya. The fourth problem of the Muslim Ummah is lack of unity. And unity because of lack of tolerance. In America there are almost six Sufi schools. Oh, where you got six? Oh, I have only four. No, six. Six acceptable Sufi schools in Islam. What are they? Hanafi school of thought, Shafi'i school of thought, Maliki school of thought, Hanbali school of thought, Salafi or Ahl Hadith, Tashayyu. Oh no, Shia. Subhanallah, brother. Is there any God-fearing alim who can say Shia are not Muslim? Yes, they are Muslim. So, this six school of thought. In America, we have no problem. In the beginning, there was problem. Now, we pray. Even as Imam, I am Hanafi school of thought. If I go to California and I see my Muqtadi, 1300 people are behind me and I see 70% of them from Arab countries, I make 12 takbirahs instead of 6 takbirahs in Salatul Arab. I have no problem. But this problem, the tahir, interpretation, all this, in common Muslim society, all over the Islamic world, as if the other person is not a Muslim. Rampant. This is the more religious somebody, the more narrow-minded you find him. Illa mashallah. This lack of unity is coming from lack of tolerance. Among the Sahaba there was a school of thought. Even people used to defer, make interpretation. But they used never to challenge other teachers, other iman. This is a very big problem in the Ummah. And I'm not talking about those people who are not coming to Masajid. I'm talking about those who are practicing religion. Can you imagine a Muslim Ummah with 57 administrative entities called countries? Is it Islamic? Islam has only two countries in the world. Darul Islam, Darul Kufr. There is no third country. Islam has only Khalifa. One single Khalifa. Umar bin Khattab, when he was injured, before his death, he appointed six from Ashraf al-Mubashara. And then go 3 days, find the opinion of the people, select one. And if somebody challenged and stood, don't put him in jail. Don't talk to him. Execute him. Am I right? Subhanallah, 57 entities and they have a beautiful name. Organization of Islamic Conference, OIC. People ask me, what is OIC? I said, OIC. They sit down, they spend millions of dollars, they hold conference and they go back as if they have nothing but entertainment. OIC. Subhanallah. This is the situation of the Ummah. This is the situation of the Ummah. Where a Khalifa heard, in that time there was no cell phone, there was no transportation the way we have today. Far in Baghdad, the six sisters, their dignity was violated in India, he sent the army to take care of it. Today, this is the situation of the Ummah. than lack of well-rounded, bold and independent leadership. Subhanallah. Our ulama, they don't know the word. As I told you, they came with a background of intimidation, dependence, appeasement. These are the characteristics. I have gone to both school of thought. And I got admission for Janet Rashad. I was almost 19, 20 years old. One of the elder brother of my teacher was principal over there. But I negotiated. I told them I will not work on charity and eat on charity. Give me some work. Because I was 9th grade, graduate of almost high school. So I asked them, say, okay, you will be keeping the account of matbakh in the kitchen and we will provide you boarding and lodging. Why it was important? I know a Muslim, a committed mujahid fi sabilillah, a da'i Allah, is not one who depend on charity. Even there are circumstances, you depend on others' help, you depend on others' loan, but you try to get rid of that as soon as possible. This is the mentality of Muslim. Now, you see, Muslim ulama, I have great respect for them. I defend them when the secularists attack them. I defend them with my life and with my honor and with my all time. Because they are the ones who preserve deen, despite all the obstacles, despite all the criticism. They are the ones who preserve deen from generation to generation. I'm not being disrespectful to them. But when I analyze the situation, as I told you, mercilessly it appears, but let the chips fall where they belong. Was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam aware of the dunya? Definitely. Was Abu Bakr well aware of what is happening in the world? Definitely. Was Umar was well aware? Of course. They were grounded leaders. Well-rounded. They know deen, they know dunya. Our ulama, they do not have the education to know what is happening. And whereas our leaders in secular world, our politicians, our economic leaders, our educational leaders, they do not have the understanding of Quran and Sunnah. So this gap between religious and non-religious authorities and leadership is a very massive problem. It has to be resolved. Unless there is reconciliation and adjustment, accommodation, this situation of the Ummah will continue. The sixth problem is confrontation. This culture of confrontation. I was 2 months with a young man. He was very close to me, serving me, driving me, translating my speeches very well. After 2 months, I became very hard on him because I had to make him deputy in my absence. He belonged to PAS, the biggest Islamic organization, political organization of Malaysia. I told him, if you are PAS member, you cannot be my deputy. I love PAS. PAS supported me. But this confrontation, I do not subscribe to. Muslim Ummah in Malaysia, UMNO is the ruling party, PAS, IBM and JIM are the Islamic parties, and they are cutting each other's throat. They are trying to destroy each other, blame and overblame and accusation and counter-accusation. Islamic way of life requires Muslims united against Yahud, against Nasara, against Mushrikeen, against Kuffar. They don't cut each other's throat. And there is no program. You have program of election and selection and you waste your resources on this. Bring the da'wah of Quran, take Quran and go after Yahud and Mushrikeen and Nasara, and then whatever difficulties you encounter, Allah Rahman will come. If you cut each other's throat like this, you will never get Islamic revolution. And even if you have Islamic revolution in a tiny Malaysia or a tiny Pakistan, the international order of things squeeze you out and make you fail, as they are threatening now the only Islamic country, Iran. That's happening now. Already they took care of Afghanistan and Malaysia and Iraq and Sudan, and now they are after. So the need is unity among the Muslims and go against non-Muslims. Do not fight against each other. This confrontation with the unelected authorities, unrepresentative, almost except Iran, little bit Sudan, I do not see any election, independent, free election in any of the Muslim countries. All the 57 Muslim countries, leaders are unelected or they manufacture election, fabricated election, and they are sitting as despots and dictators. And when you are dictator, when you suppress your own ummah, you have no choice but to kick the shoe of your enemy. And that's what they are doing. Because they need support to be in power. And when you oppose your own nation, which is the source of power, then you go to the enemy and get the support. This confrontation between Muslim and Muslim is unfair. It is unknown to Islam, it is unknown to Quran and Sunnah. And this is rampant in all over 57 Muslim countries. It's a big problem. Now, the seventh problem, lack of expression, freedom of expression, and because lack of freedom of expression, self-evaluation. Only one man is smart in the country, information minister. He controls the television. The rest of the nation is stupid, fool. They cannot. All this in Muslim countries. You will not find in New Zealand, you will not find in Australia, you will not find in whole Europe and whole America. Televisions are private. Newspapers are free. Magazines are free. But in Muslim country, even if you give khutbah in the masjid, it has to be approved by the Ministry of Awqaf. Subhanallah. You know, in Malaysia, I have gone through 2 months. Subhanallah, the brother died and arranged my khutbah. One first khutbah was, the king of Malaysia was supposed to come. So they made sure, please finish your wars before he comes. It's against the protocol. Subhanallah, brother. What will happen? Allah, Allah Rasul, I am not talking about politics. Subhanallah. They appreciated. My topic was Dhikr and Taqwa. Very nice lecture, very good lecture. But please, before the king comes for Salah, finish it. Subhanallah. Imagine the situation. Imagine the situation. Now Saudi Arabia, all thousands of masajid have fatwa, khutbah dictated from Riyadh, and they can read only what is approved. They cannot speak. You will be surprised. Exactly in the discussion of that. In one of the authentic hadith of Musnad Ahmad, La yakhruj al-dajjal hatta yazalun la zikrahu wa tatruku al-aimma zikrahu ala al-manaqib. Dajjal will not come out till people will forget. And Imam, he used a different word, tatruku. They will give up mentioning Dajjal because they were being controlled by Awqaf ministries. Inshallah, I will leave this subject when we come to Dajjal. But remember this lack of expression. And one of the greatest strengths of America, Europe, Australia, is not their weapon. Their free society. Freedom of expression means nobody can be despot and dictate. Let the free idea, the best idea come emerge out of clash of different ideas. This is the strength. This was the way of Rasulullah. This was the way of course, our freedom of expression has limitation. You cannot lie, you cannot distort, you cannot accuse anybody. But within those limits, complete freedom of expression. An ordinary woman could have stood during the khutbah of Umar bin Khattab when he suggested that because of the ghana and booty is coming from Persian Empire, Roman Empire, people are getting rich, women are getting rich, and men are getting rich, but unmarried women were demanding their share. So they were increasing their mahar. So he wanted to put some restriction on mahar, people don't discourage getting married. He wanted to suggest an ordinary Azusa, old woman, has no intention to marry. She stood during the khutbah, said, Allah gave us permission to negotiate with our prospective husband. Who you are to put restriction? Immediately he withdrew. He said, Umar Akhtar, Umar made the mistake. his rights. Freedom of expression. Total freedom of expression. A Khalifa, you see the role, the mind and power of Umar bin Khattab, never even closest friend of Rasulullah used to challenge him. An ordinary woman challenged because of the freedom of expression. The only limit is limit of Sharia. So this freedom of expression, there is no way that good opinion can prevail, good opinion can focus and help. And that is why what is going around the authority, it is accepted and it is enforced. No matter how wrong that is, how harmful that is. This is the situation. Now I can go on. There are many problems and I have limited 60 minutes, 70 minutes to finish them. So I cannot be expected to go and detail every problem Ummah is facing. But these are the major problems I mentioned. And after that, inshallah, I will give you a written summary of what I spoke. And I also encourage the masjid, the Darul Academy, to make copies of my lecture and make it available to you. Now, what are the solutions? According to Quran and Sunnah, first and foremost, change the education system. I'm criticizing, but again I apologize. I don't mean to be merciless. Let the chips fall where they belong. Darul-e-Nizami is very well known that produced our ulama. Darul-e-Nizami is 1,000 years old. Some genius has made in Baghdad and he drew a nisab, a system, curriculum, both for making, producing ulama. First of all, it is full of contradiction. I'm sorry to say, such a big thing I'm attacking right here, and yes, I'm doing that, if you have Quran, it's not a big thing. All of them say, if you ask this question to all these teachers who are teaching and producing ulama and khatib all over the Islamic world, what is the most important source of knowledge and authority in Islam? Quran. What is the second most important knowledge, source of knowledge and authority? Sunnah. And then, later on, ijma, fiqh, this and this. But you analyze, you will be surprised. 70% of time a student, when he became 14 years, 15 years, 16 years alim, he studied fiqh. 70% of the time. 15%, 20% of the time, hadith. 10% of the time, the tabarruk, Quran. Subhanallah, Quran should be 70% time. Hadith should be 20%. That should be 10%. It is reverse. Go and check yourself, that's in Islami. Go and check yourself. And subhanallah, this one-sided education, more dangerous, there is no computer, there is no social science, there is no physical science, there is no biology, there is no physics, nothing. How we are going to be leaders? How we are going to lead people? Subhanallah. Is it haram to teach physics in the Islamic school? Is it haram? Subhanallah. This is one-sided leadership. And reverse is secular leadership. An engineer does not know Quran. He does not know Sunnah. Subhanallah. Can't you be engineer and have the Quran? Or a alim of deen? Is it haram? It is impossible. Subhanallah. This education system, one-sided, both in secular universities, secular colleges, and Islamic centers of teaching and learning, this is one-sided. It has to be made well-rounded. What is the second solution? Understand. You go to America, you go to Australia, first grade, and you go to Islamic schools all around the Islamic world. What is the difference you will find? Memorization is emphasized in Islamic school. And thinking skill is sharpened in the secular school. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, thinking, understanding is important than hips. Knowledge has two aspects. Hips, retention, understanding. Which is important? Understanding is more important than retention. The whole secular schools in Europe and America and following them in Islamic world is based upon this. But our education system is based upon this. If you finish this learning, giving his attention, you are promoted to second grade. Whereas even in primary school, no, before primary school, in KG, they put you through vigorous test of sharpening the skills. Here, for example, a child is given bricks of the home with ABCD written and given a picture so that we can make the home according to the picture. So he is thinking now which brick he has to pick up and where he has to place. Thinking skill is sharp, and that is the problem with the Islamic education. This has to be challenged. Now the third problem is da'wah. Inshallah, when the time will come, I will focus more. When I tell these people, get surprised. There was no salah 12 years in the life of Prophet. 23 years, 51% time, he doesn't have 5-10 prayer. He doesn't have fasting till he came to Medina, 14 years. He doesn't have zakat till 15 years. He doesn't have hajj till 20 years. 20 years of his nabuwa, he doesn't have hajj. But da'wah was from day one. Tabligh was from day one. People do not understand. Da'wah is not only a weapon against the enemy, it is the best protection of your deen. When you give da'wah, you find reaction, whether it is good or it is adverse. For example, somebody may ridicule you, somebody may take you lightly, dismiss you, somebody may prosecute and persecute you. The more you struggle in da'wah, the closer you get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the device with which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam created heroes and jewels in Makkah. One of the best description of Sahaba by Philip Tilty, the most important professor recently died in Princeton, was one of the most important contemporary Muslims. He wrote about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam created nursery of heroes. Every Sahabi becomes a hero, and it was a nursery of heroes that changed the whole Persian Empire, Roman Empire. Changed forever. People compare victory of Muslims with victory of Alexander. No, Alexander physically conquered. Sahaba conquered minds and hearts of the people. They changed the life of the people. They changed the halal and haram forever for them. They changed the mentality of the people. That most comprehensive revolution they were able to bring because of the training during da'wah in Makkah, the difficulty, the persecution, that demonstrated their strictness, their determination, they consolidated their iman in their heart. That is the secret of the power of Ummul Islam. And the last is jihad fi sabilillah. The word peace of Allah applies to two situations. When you are doing that exclusively, not along with something else, exclusively for Allah. Peace of Allah, the struggle you do for the sake of Allah. Number one. Number two, Allah manhajun nabuwa. You follow the peace of Allah. This true condition is for peace of Allah. Jihad peace of Allah is our way. Why? When you do jihad, you will be constantly under pressure. And under pressure, you don't slack. Under pressure, you don't loosen up. You are on your toes, you work hard, you perform the best. And that was the purpose of jihad. And jihad is so central, even if you pray, even if you pay zakat, even you fast, even you go to hajj, if you don't participate in jihad, you are a munafiq. Quran is very clear. قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ عَبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَأَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اخْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَتَاعٌ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Say, if your parents, if your children, if your brothers and sisters, if your spouses, if your relatives, if your property, if your homes, you like so much, are dearer to you than Allah and His Messenger. Every one of you will say, no, I hold Allah and Rasul dearer. No, there is another condition. What you have in this belief. This is the criteria. Abdullah bin Ubay was praying better than you. better masjid than your masjid, Masjid al-Nabawi. Better imam than your imam, Imam al-Mursaleen. But he was munafiq when he shied away from Quran. Am I right or wrong? This is what Islam is all about. Jihad. Jihad fi sabilillah. And jihad has three dimensions. Jihad against desire. Afaraita man tasarra ilahu hawahu. Did you see one who took his desire as his God? Nobody says my desire is my God. But if you follow somebody without questioning, that is your God. Am I right? So this is what. First jihad is against desire. Second desire, second is against loved one. As I yesterday discussed, some of the spouses and children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. If you forget the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or His pleasure and displeasure, and you follow the desire of your children or dictate of the man, then this is fitara, this is lost. Now the third dimension of jihad is against enemy. In this matter, we are hearing too much about terrorism and this and that. Let me be very clear. Now be alert, because we are coming to a very sensitive subject. Be alert and listen to me carefully. There are five prerequisites of fighting. Qital means fighting with weapons, whatever weapon, whether it's stick or with sword or automatic weapon. It cannot be undertaken unless five integral, uncompromising conditions are met. First and foremost condition is Iman. Second condition is Jama'ah. There is no qital without Jama'ah. Third condition is Ameer. There cannot be any Jama'ah without Ameer. Fourth condition is Shura. Muslims do not conduct their affairs except with Shura. Fifth condition, remember very clearly. I already said four. Iman, Jama'ah, Ameer, Shura. And then, if you have option to get away from that situation, Hijra. If that is not available, then and then only you can engage into fitnah. Of course, defense against sudden attack by enemy is always permitted. And every law of every country admits that you can defend yourself if somebody attacks you. I'm not talking about somebody's attack. About initiating qital, you cannot unless you fulfill. So any qital which does not fulfill this five requirements, and then this is fi sabilillah, qital fi sabilillah. We do not believe in qital only. Fi sabilillah means number one for the sake of Allah. You are not doing for nationalism, for pride, for money, for anything. And the second condition, ala man al nabuwa. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has forbidden mujahideen to destroy even plants if they are not coming in your way. How could you kill a civilian? How could you touch the life of a human being who is not combating? This is the problem. This propaganda and being exploited by the Zionists, we are providing the fuel to this fire. My brothers and sisters in Palestine, my brothers and sisters in Iraq, my brothers and sisters in Afghanistan, I am telling you, this Ummah did not fulfill the obligation of Da'wah, and this is the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming. Bear it! Go back to Da'wah. Go back to Tabligh. Share Quran with non-Muslims. Then you can have fulfilled the condition, first condition. Wait till Allah gives you one single leader, not 57 leaders of OIC. You can never fight this war with that. Can a Gazakhist fight with Muhammad Ali, the boxer? In one notch he will be gone. He's a Gazakhist. The Ummah is Gazakhist. Ummah is sick. Ummah does not have the vision and the leadership and the qualities. and you want confrontation without fulfilling your obligation of dawah. This is shameless for those who are engaged in this. I'm not talking about the situation where Muslims are attacked. They have every right to defend themselves. Internationally it is recognized. But I am talking about this two ta' has nothing to do with Quran, Sunnah of the Prophet. I made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable you to understand the problems of the Ummah, and I have, to the best of my capacity, gave you the solution. Inshallah, later on we have other topics. We'll discuss what is the time for Ramadan. What's that?
10 past 9.
So, inshallah. I have taken my time and I exceeded my time. But as I promised yesterday, first we will take the question about yesterday's topic and then today's topic, inshallah.
السلام عليكم. جزاك الله خير الجزاء. No doubt, فضيلة الأستاذ giving us a very vibrant talk again today, and also exposed the weakness of the Muslim Ummah. It is a fact, and it is a great wisdom to know the weakness. But the greater aspect is to strengthen your weakness, and I think that he brought you to life, that we have to resolve our problems with the Quran and the Sunnah. Now, as the Brother Ustaz asked for the question, first pertaining to yesterday's topic, please bring it forward.
Okay, can you read that, because I don't have my glasses.
What is the best way or method to teach the Quran?
Well, I cannot describe it in detail, but I told you before, over and over. Emphasize while correct pronunciation, correct meaning, understand. Our whole system is memorization. I went to Malaysia, almost 40 different imams I prayed behind. Their pronunciation was 100% correct. But I am not sure majority of them even understood what they were pronouncing. Because it is emphasized in Malaysia, the king also gives gifts and honors every year, big concerts. So there is a culture of pronunciation, right pronunciation. But that is not what Quran. Quran teaching the best way is the way of Sahaba. They used to learn, reflect. They used not to count how much Quran they have recited, but they used to focus on quality is important than quantity. That's all I can say, inshallah. If you have any other further follow-up, inshallah, sit down with me, I will talk.
Assalamu alaikum. Your claim that 98% of Muslims are hypocrites has confirmed the statement made by Ustaz Ismail Qaboos from Malaysia, who said here in this mosque that 5-7% of Malaysian Muslims who just left from a multi-society go back to their respective shirk. That's number one. Number two,
let me take one number. Please correct yourself. I didn't say that they are not. I don't want to be Mufti. I am not in the habit of being Mufti and giving fatwa. I precisely used the word, and alhamdulillah it has been recorded. You can see my video yesterday. I said symptom of nifaq. 98%. I am not going to hurt anybody's feeling. I am telling myself, I feel this challenge every day. Symptom of nifaq. So please correct yourself, inshallah. Yes. Take care of them, inshallah. After you.
The second one is that Ustaz Zainul Deen, it was the MZ Azwar MZ from Indonesia, claims that of the 85% Muslims in Indonesia, there are about 5-7% who are true Muslims.
Well, you know, this kind of discussion cannot help much. The only reason I brought this subject is to awaken inshallah, we focus on that, that wherever in our life there is contradiction, it's very obvious. From Quran and Sunnah we can find that, and inshallah try to improve that.
Basically, the person goes with, not because of Christian, Ustad Ismail Khamud tends to agree that there must be something wrong with the methodology of teaching Islam to the young generation, which someone says that being practiced for 14 centuries.
Well, inshallah, brother, discussion is for question. Comments, you can keep it. You know, inshallah, there will be session for comments. You can make comments. But question, ask me something you want to know. I mean, you can make comments, inshallah, you will have the platform to do that. But focus on the question, inshallah. Yes, yes.
Question from the lady. Question from me.
I am currently studying Hibs with the intention of study of Islam rigorously so as to serve Islam and be a of guidance for the Ummah and mankind. I also at present study social science at the university. What subject in Islam do you recommend me to focus on, or which subject do you see as necessary for me to study with respect to the Ummah's needs at present, and where do you recommend me to go? Please mention several institutions.
I was in that situation 40 years ago. I was writing one alim to another alim. But unfortunately, I cannot recommend a single institution in the world. Maybe it is not my knowledge. I'm not saying that I know every institution. But you have to be adjusting and compromising. You cannot get an ideal situation. An ideal situation for me is very an Islamic syllabus, Quran being emphasized, second Hadith, then third Fiqh, and then social sciences and physical sciences. But that situation you have to adjust, you have to get from wherever you can. So I will recommend you either talk to me individually or go to places where you get satisfaction in all respects, inshallah.
Your solutions to today's problems are quite vague to me. Please say precisely what Imam in Brisbane should do or should be doing or not doing to change and be relevant to today's need. Allow Christians during khutbah?
Now, Imam of Brisbane is sitting here. He got a message. Alhamdulillah. You don't need to give him any message. Inshallah. No, I don't want. SubhanAllah, all I am asking, it's very obvious. That's why we should share this video. You want to go back and check. Don't read your part in my what I say, what I mean is very clear. If there is any misunderstanding, you can keep clarifying. But I am not suggesting what you are saying. Inshallah, this is a 8 lecture series. At the end of the series, I will give you enough time. Enough time. Want to sit down individually? I have alhamdulillah visiting visa for 3 months. So I will stay here with you and inshallah satisfy you. Islam. What more?
What model should we use to elect a government if we have to avoid conflict?
Brother, you are jumping. We are not on government selection process, and not at the stage, inshallah. When the stage will come to me and I will answer you, inshallah.
This is now from the sisters, the questions are coming from the sisters. Is it permissible for Muslim women to work and earn money in a non-Muslim country, example, where can a son go to war if parents do not want him to go?
The first question answered, if you have the freedom of practicing your Sharia, it is not contradicting, there is no problem. But there is no amount that can make you give up even an ordinary hukum of Sharia for the sake of child. am not against God. MashaAllah, I have 3 boys and 1 girl. And my girl is the most talented one. She graduated in 19 years university. Actually in America, impossible almost. Only one among 10,000 may graduate at age 19. Normal age of graduation, 12 years of high school, 4 years of college, is 21, 22. Alhamdulillah, she is very rounded. She is full of Quran, she memorized, she knows Arabic very well. She is a good speaker in Arabic, in English, and good writer. But despite all that, she never ever compromised her job, even going attending to college. Last year when it became impossible, then she did his last year over computer directly without going to the college. She used to take me whenever a professor used to ask him for appointment. She cannot sit with a non-Muslim, even with a Muslim, where Mahrim sit down in the office 15 minutes. So she used to take me over there. So this is what it is. It is very difficult. I know, but Jannah is not easy. It is not cheaper than medical degree or engineering degree or a good job. Jannah is very hard.
Given the issues you raised about the problem facing the Muslim Ummah, would you agree that the thought of change has to champion by Muslims living in the non-Muslim countries? If so, how can the change in fitra be exposed back to the Muslims living in the so-called Muslim majority country?
Well, there is little more freedom because we do not have confrontation in the West. So they are giving freedom, but this freedom very shortly will be snatched away from you. I am telling you this thing which will not be understood now. You will take time to understand. The freedom in the West for Islamic world is there, much more than Muslim countries. But this will be shortly snatched away from you because now you are being branded, no matter what branch you belong to, you are being branded extremist, terrorist and so on and so forth. But till that time, there is an opportunity, a dawah to non-Muslim, please do avail every opportunity and massively educating Muslim Ummah. Muslim Ummah educating and massively educating the masses. This is the way out unless we increase our level of understanding of deen and application of deen. We cannot have miracles, we cannot have Nasrullah. Allah's Nusra will come when we do the job of dawah, educating ourselves, making number one priority being our life. This is the greatest of the challenge. Our priority number two or three is Islam, in the best case of the Muslim brother. I am telling you, job is first, family is first priority, and that is what is important. It will take time, it will need a lot of sacrifice. Making deen, jihad fi sabilillah, struggle in the path, dawah as number one priority requires lot of sacrifice, lot of adjustment. You cannot jump on that, but inshallah if you plan and slowly do that, inshallah change will occur.
There are 3 questions here, they are quite similar. Assalamu alaikum. You mentioned that reading Quran, the difference of Quran is more important than Salah. How so? Can you please explain it further? Most Muslims, I believe, learn how to pray first before establish his or her duty towards Quran. I'm afraid your statement might mean as long as you pray the Quran, you can regard should is of the second importance.
Astaghfirullah. I didn't mean that. But I told you 12 years Sahaba were not having fast and pray. What they were doing? Because if you read carefully the whole Quran, Salah, Zakat, Saum, Hajj, 2 words have been used for them, Zikr and Taqwa. Out of fasting, Taqwa. Out of Hajj, Taqwa. Out of Salah, Zikr. Remembrance of Allah and development of Iman bil Ghaib and sharing and caring. For what? It is like military training. You go and get military training. But after getting military training, you come for salary over and over, and government say our country is attacked, defend. No, I was for training. Training was not the purpose. Salah was not the purpose. Salah is to create dhikr in you. Salah is to create taqwa in you. That to take this dhikr, this take this taqwa and fight enemies of Islam. Struggle and give the message of Quran to others. So that is what I meant. I am trying to bring the balance, but never implies its meaning that Salah is not an obligation. It is, but all of them are means and the purpose is jihad, da'wah. And for that purpose, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. I am not saying this, Quran is very clear, please. Last ayah of Surah Al-Hajj. Jahidu billahi yaqa jihadi huwa tabakum. Struggle at most in the path of Allah as he deserves. Meaning, nobody deserves more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your struggle at most is not for your world, for your job, for your business, for your family. It should be for Allah. Because he chose you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it very clear. لِتَكُونَ وَيَكُونَ رَسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا وَتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. That you become testified and witness the truth of Quran over the entire humanity. So exactly what I mean. The Salah is training. Salah and Zakah and Hajj and fasting is training. Training for what? Training for Da'wah. Training for Tabligh. Training for Inzaab or Tafsheer. Training for Amr bin Ma'ruf Nahi an Munkar. Training for Tawassul bil Haqq, Tawassul bis Sabr. Training for Kitab fi Sabilillah.
The last question is,
you are talking about training the education system within Islam. Our teachers in Islam schools are all educated the Western system. How would they prepare themselves? Or should it be from both?
No, I am not asking them to be separated. Qibla direction should be changed. What I mean is focus on understanding of Quran and application as Sahaba used to do. Some of the Sahaba used to focus on one surah for several weeks till they understand and act upon it, they don't move. This is what I am focusing on. And then focus on Sunnah. If you read Quran, Quran has emphasized unequivocally the importance of the Sunnah. So that is what the direction should be changed. Focus should be not on memorization but understanding and application.
First of all, just to give you an answer, tomorrow's topic is also very, very important. It is Tuesday tomorrow as the Khalifa of the Manhaj of the Ummah, our goal to achieve Ridwan and Ghufran Allah. So that is the topic for tomorrow. Brothers and sisters, I have to inform you that if you need any lectures as the transcript for each copy, it's $1. And $5 for all the lectures that will be printed inshallah. And for the videos or DVDs, whatever you will get, it will be about $10. So we need you to book that and inshallah we will arrange all those things. And secondly, the Fazilat Ustaz spoke about the burning of the Quran, and alhamdulillah he has distributed more than 250,000 Quran all over the world. And Fazilat Ustaz, he gave it a simple format that we do not know the Quran, we do not know knowledge of Quran, we are not dying, we are not qualified dying. So what he is proposing is that he is going to be making Quran in English, printing the Quran in English. And they are not Quran but translation without the Arabic. So you can give it to your fellow colleagues that are listening to the Quran. That way you will be saved from propagating Islam, the question and the responsibility upon each Muslim to propagate Islam as our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bayyinahu anhi wa ru'aya. On this aspect, Fazilat Ustaz has got a format here where you must write your name and how many Quran you want to pledge for. And what's going to happen is that Darul Uloom is going to organize the distribution of the Quran. And inshallah we intend to distribute 20,000 Quran. And it is very simple. You, for instance, say that you want 100 Quran and you give Darul Uloom 10 Quran. or you give da'awah under Quran and you take 10 for your zakat, like that we can distribute it. And also ask other brothers to sponsor the distribution. And the Quran, please believe me, you will cost you approximately $1.50. For every Muslim, the person.
$1.25 to $1.50.
Inshallah, President Ustaz has got the printer there and he finds something there and got an agreement. So you can distribute this Quran. And I think it's a great opportunity. Because as you know, after 9/11, all the Quran has disappeared from the shelf. People are buying the Quran. Up to today, people are asking for Quran. And you, whether you are working or the police, you can propagate the Quran. Now the other thing, as we have booked you for the whole week for listening to these lectures, you have to come here and listen to the lecture and inshallah you will benefit a lot. Like that, on the 23rd and 24th of April, we are booking you again. On the 23rd of April, which is Sunday at 6:30 p.m., we are going to be having a logo underground eating, which is a fundraiser for Brisbane Muslim School. And on the 24th, again, in Brisbane Muslim School, in Grand Level 7 to 4, we are going to be celebrating the Sirat of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the biography of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we are going to have Imams talking about the biography of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That program is going to start at 11 o'clock and ending at 2 p.m. with Dhuhr and Salah. So please, brothers, buy this 2 days, 23rd and 24th, the view will be there and inshallah we can go to the Bible of Allah. Everybody is happening, alhamdulillah. Nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa nastaghfirullah wa natubu ilayh. And last thing, don't forget to eat and drink. You have coffee and biscuits and refreshments. The Bible of Allah will be with you.
I was looking for